Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. The message for this week is titled, The Many Names of Jesus. Thank you to Alan, Don, and Jeff for being part of this video. We want to wish a happy, belated anniversary to Jim and Gloria, as well as happy birthday to Aisha, Daniel, and Connie. The scripture reading for this service is Matthew 1:21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
Good morning, and welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ for our regular Sunday service. At this time, however, it is virtual. So I just want to welcome everybody and to let them know that we would just love to see them in person, to be together with them as individuals. But that will come. So will the hugs. They will come. In the meantime, We need just to keep in touch as much as possible to help each other. And I know there are some announcements, but I don't have them. So I'm assuming Adam is going to put them up separately. So why don't I just start us this day with a prayer? Let me just bring that up. This is a prayer by a lady named Debbie McDaniel. I just thought it fit so well for our times today. We confess our need for you today. We need your healing and your grace. We need hope restored. We need to be reminded that you work on behalf of those you love constantly, powerfully, completely. Forgive us for trying to fix our situations all on our own. Forgive us for running all different directions and spinning our wheels to find help, when true help and healing must be found first in you. Forgive us for forgetting how much we need you above everyone and everything else. We come to you and bring you the places we are hurting. You see where no one else is able to fully see or understand. You know the pain we've carried, the burdens, the cares. You know where we need to be set free. We ask for your healing and grace to cover every broken place, every wound, every heartache. Thank you that you are able to do far more than we could ever imagine. Thank you for your mighty power that acts on behalf of your children. We reach out to you and know that you're restoring and redeeming every place of difficulty, every battle for your greater glory. Thank you that we will never waste our pain and suffering. We love you. We need you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We have the awesome responsibility of preaching the gospel to the entire world. People are listening to our teaching. We've heard from people in different parts of the world. They're listening to our teaching in New Guinea, in Germany, California, India, Texas, Mexico. It's as if the missions field has come to us. And it's an awesome responsibility, and we ask God that he would bless the message today. And I want to spend some time talking about the many names of Jesus. And there are many names given to Jesus. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the direct command from God came, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save the people from his sins. Matthew 1:21. And Jesus means the Lord saves. But I've been thinking about the multiple names given to Jesus, and I'm going to refer to some of them today. But before I do that, I want you to just turn a little bit inward and think about yourself, how many names and nicknames you have been called by. For example, on our birth certificate, we have our name. On my birth certificate, it says Donald Murray Smith. No one has ever called me Donald Murray Smith. That's my name. But nobody other than the government calls me by that name. All of my life, I've been known as Don or Donnie. We all have multiple names attached to us, nicknames, just names that were given to us. I have a couple of friends who played professional hockey, one Greg Thaberge, who played for the Washington Capitals. No one ever called him Greg. That's his name, Greg Thaberge. But all his life, from junior hockey to professional hockey in the NHL and then over in Germany, he was always known as Bergie. Bergie. And then there was Bob Atwell from Sunridge, Ontario, who scored the overtime goal to win the Memorial Cup for the Peterborough Petes, Bob Atwell. But nobody ever called Bob Bob. His name was Gunner because he had a rifle of a shot. There's names all around us, attached to us. Even in our own homes, mommy, daddy, husband, and wife, we call each other sweetheart or love or whatever it is. Words are important, and they identify us in an incredible way. I got thinking about that this week, and I just spent a little bit of time thinking about the various names of Jesus. And what's interesting to me is that many of the names attached to Jesus were given to him even before he was born. Multiple names. I wrote down some 32 of them, and I'll give them to you, and I'll give you the scripture reference, but we're not going to read the scriptures. We'd be here for a long time today if I did that. I tried to put them in alphabetical order, the names attached to Jesus. Almighty One, Revelation 4:8. Advocate, 1 John 2 and verse 1. Author and Perfecter, Hebrews 12 and verse 2. He is the authority over all things, Matthew 28, 18. He's known as Bread of Life, John 6, 35. And this is an emotional one, the Beloved Son of God, Matthew 3, 17. And then back in the Old Testament, he was called the capstone or the cornerstone in which the whole building is built, Psalm 118 and verse 22. And I like this one. He's known as the deliverer, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 10. He's known as the faithful and true, Revelation 19, 11. He's known as the good Shepherd, John 10 and 11. He's also known as the great high priest, Hebrews 4 and verse 14. He's known as the holy servant. I thought, wow, those usually aren't words that are put together, holy and servant. And he is. He was a demonstration of the equality of God and the greatest of service. He's known as the judge. In Acts 10, in verse 42, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And all the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So at the introduction of this lesson today, I suggested that there are people who are listening to this message all throughout the world. And it was true in the time of Jesus that he came into the world for the world. And we have this media that's available to us that they never had in the first century, that instantaneously people around the world can hear great messages of Jesus Christ. And Jesus knew that long ago. He was the good shepherd. He was also the great high priest, the holy servant, the judge of the living and the dead, past, present, and future. And then thinking of the future, he is the King of Kings, Revelation 17, 14. Oh, there have been great kings over the years, great kings, but there's only one King of all kings. Many kings and queens, but only one who is King of Kings. At the same time, this gentle Lamb of God, John 1:21, he's known as the Light of the World, and he's also called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, John 8:12 and Revelation 5:5. He's called the Lord of all, Philippians 2:9 through 11. He's called the Mediator. We need that in our world today, to mediate people. 1 Timothy 2 and 5. He's known as the Messiah, John 1:41. And he's known as, and Isaiah says this some 700 years before Jesus was born, he's known as the Mighty One, Isaiah 60 and verse 16. He's known as the Rock, 1 Corinthians 10:4. He's known as the Savior, Luke 2 and verse 11. He's known as the Son of the Most High God, Luke 1:32. And he's known as the Supreme Creator over all things, Colossians 1:16 and 17. He's known as the Door, John 10:9. He's known as the Way, John 14:6. He's known as the Word, John 1:1. He's known as the True Vine, John 15 and 1. And then he's known as these words would describe him: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. John, one of the disciples, and Jesus had a remarkable relationship. In fact, it was said in the Bible, the one whom he loved, there was this special relationship between John and Jesus. And when John writes his gospel, and he writes his epistles, and he writes the Revelation, the emphasis is love and light. This wonderful relationship that he had with Jesus, he always refers to him as the Word that brings light, and the Word that brings life to life. Words are important. How we speak to people, it's important. And I love the scriptures that remind us how powerful Jesus' name is. And Jesus and John had this great friendship. And speaking of John as the one Jesus loved in John 13 and verse 23, but in John's gospel, he spells out why he wrote his book. He says that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, and that by believing that we might have life in him, John 20:31. Not just eternal life, but life that makes sense today. Please notice how John writes the masterful gospel with such good news, referring to life and light. Good words for us today. I just want to read some familiar scriptures that maybe you haven't noticed for a while. In the gospel of John himself, in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. I mean, to me, it's interesting. If God somehow spoke to us, and said to us, I know we have the Bible, and we know that we have 66 books in the Bible. I would like you to write a book in the Bible. I just would like you to write a book in the Bible. And I'll give you freedom. You can write whatever you want to write. I mean, the responsibility would be beyond comprehension. What would you say? What would you write? John writes the entire gospel of John, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He writes 1st, 2nd, 3rd John in reference to the teachings of Jesus. He writes the whole book of the Revelation describing the almighty, powerful shepherd God. What would you say? What would you write? Knowing that everyone who wants to in the entire world could read your writing. What would you write? And here's how he begins his first of writings. In the beginning was the Word. That's a name attached to Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Wow, pretty incredible. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. And he came as a witness to testify concerning that light. And it just struck me early this morning that that's exactly our calling as well. 2,000 years later, the calling is true and sure even for us today. He came as a witness to testify to the light. We testify to Jesus Christ that through him all people might believe in him. The gospel is not selfish. Our names are not selfish. It's the name that describes the personality, I hope, of who we are in the sense of whatever our name is, it's all focused on Christ as a Christian. So it says, there was a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all people might believe. He wasn't the light himself. John wasn't. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every person is coming into the world. It's a colossal writing that John puts forth. And other writers put their take on it as well. In the book of Colossians, Paul, who writes the book of Colossians, says this in a powerful way as well. And it's somewhat of an amazing twist of the brain to really grab hold of what these powerful people are reminding us of. And I love this passage in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. It says, for Jesus has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Have you ever stopped to think that we belong to the kingdom of God? The very kingdom that God established for all. That we belong to that kingdom. So if you're living in India and you're hearing this message, you also belong to the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. If you're in Germany today and you're living in Germany, you're part of the kingdom of God. If you're living in Northern Ontario, you're not just living in Northern Ontario, you are part of the kingdom of God. There are brothers and sisters who are your brothers and sisters whom you have not yet met, and you do not know their names, but God does. And your name is attached to that kingdom of God. Even though the Bible was written so many years ago, it's as relevant today, especially when it comes in describing our relationship with Jesus Christ. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. And many people who are now Christians remember those days of darkness, but he's brought us into the light in the forgiveness, for the forgiveness of our sins. He is the visible, Jesus is the visible of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation, for by him, and notice this, all things were created, everything. Things in heaven, things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And that's us as well. When Jesus began to create, he also knew the exact time and places in which we would be born. And we would have a name given to us. There'd be a name on the birth certificate. But Jesus, oh, you've got another name. You have a name besides the name on your birth certificate. You've got stamped in your spirit. You got stamped in your soul. Jesus. He is mine, Jesus says. Don is mine, Jesus says. Mary is mine, Jesus says. We're part of this remarkable name that continues to flow in the centuries. It's amazing scripture. And I love what he says in verse 19, for God has pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Paul, who always believed in God but didn't believe in Jesus for a while, he always wondered where his place was, and he changed into that name of Christian, a name that he didn't like previously. But he becomes the advocate to most churches in the New Testament, declaring and responding the kingdom of God. So I want to share with you just a couple more scriptures. John writes many magnificent scriptures, and I want to now go to 1 John. I was in the Gospel of John. I want to go into 1 John and just notice some of these great writings. In 1 John, beginning in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. This life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you life eternal, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. Fellowship with God, fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And we write this to give great joy. We have this relationship with God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and brothers and sisters all throughout the world. And there is this light that was hidden in the darkness for the longest time. And then people began to notice the light. Matthew 2, the Magi asked, where is this one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star. We saw his light. And we've come to worship him. It's an amazing story. These Magi traveling probably on camels for many months, some would say even years, somehow they saw a light and they knew there was more to it than just light. They knew there was something that was bringing them to this light, a relationship to the light. Seems strange, but they had this relationship where they had to just leave what they were going and go to this light. And that's the same for us. There's a light called Jesus Christ, and he calls us to him, and he gives us his name so that we can worship him and love him and share. And then there were the shepherds in the field, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Maybe someday, when God calls all things to fruition, we can meet those shepherds, and we can ask them, tell us what it was like. And maybe those shepherds will say, I'll tell you what it's like if you tell me what it was like for you when the light of God, Jesus Christ, came into your life. What was that like? And for us who have been Christians for a while, do we still remember the joy and the privilege and the pleasure of having the light of God come into our life? So let me conclude by reading Revelation 21, verses 22 through 26. I find it interesting, and it's not just coincidence, how in Genesis chapter 1, God brings light into the world, and how in the last chapters of Revelation, God keeps the light going. Talks about the future. And here's what he says, Revelation 21, starting in verse 22. Somewhat symbolic and yet powerful, somewhat apocryphal and yet relevant. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, Jesus, are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The glory of the Lord gives us light, and the Lamb of God is our light. Who knew that we're in the Bible? He gives us this apocryphal understanding of an eternal kingdom, of the glory of God, and he's letting us know we're part of all of that. Their nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring splendor into it. On no day will the gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it. This great light of God that is there for us and for everyone. So yeah, names are important. They're relevant, and they are profound. Jesus has given many names. So again, I ask you, what is the name on your birth certificate? I want you to know that you have other names besides the names on your birth certificate. And beyond everything else, you are known as God's child. His stamp, his name, resides in our heart forever and forever. May we wear the name of Jesus well as we live by his name, even with your name. Amen.
Of all the names of Jesus, one stands out in particular to me, and Don did stop at that one and said it meant a lot to him as well. It's used in Matthew 3:17, as he pointed out, and the parallels at Jesus' baptism, and that name is Beloved. I think it means the most to me because he's also going to use it of me, and I'm confident of that. At his baptism, God's voice comes from heaven and reminds them that this is his beloved son. It's used again at his transfiguration, where once again, God reminds them, this is my beloved son. Listen to what he has to say. It's an idea that harkens back to the Psalms and Isaiah. In Psalm chapter 2, you are my son. This very day I have become your father. It's an idea about Yahweh and his anointed one. In those days, David represented that anointing and the kingship, but it was based on the fact that a Lord was able to take someone of low status and raise them up and give them an inheritance, an everlasting relationship. Paul picks up on this in the first chapter of Ephesians. And I want you to think about this. When you belong to his beloved, Paul says in praising God that when you belong to his beloved, God has given you every spiritual blessing because we are a part of Christ. He's chosen us before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless. He's adopted us to the same beloved status. He's redeemed us so that we have forgiveness. And most of all, he's given us hope. And he's backed that all up with a guarantee in that his Spirit lives in us. We meet today to break bread. At the cross, there is no heavenly recognition of his beloved. In fact, Jesus cries out to his Father, apparently in vain. Why am I alone in this? God's answer is very different that day. He darkens the sky. He tears the curtain of the temple. He creates earthquakes as his beloved suffers the consequences of sin. And then he answers. 3 days later, he raises him back to the perfection that he once had. 40 days later, he pours out his Spirit on those who follow him. And eternally, he sends his grace. As Donnie said earlier, he gave us his name so that we too might be called beloved. And it was at the cross that Jesus fixed that for us. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you this day that you have seen fit to adopt us because of his sacrifice. This morning we take this bread, we drink from this cup, remembering that he left all he had with you and came to earth to live among us. He carried the consequences of our sin that day. And Father, for that, we are eternally grateful. Father, you give us new hope because you have adopted us as sons and daughters. And we have the same privileges that he has. Father, we bow now before you and before him in recognition of the love that you have shown us, of the grace that you have given us. And Father, we thank you that he was willing to take that suffering, that he was willing to pay our price. Thank you, Father. We praise you in his name and in the name of your Spirit and the Father who holds all together. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently recording services in accordance with provincial lockdown regulations. If you would like to contribute a scripture reading, prayer, or communion thoughts, please send a message through Facebook or an email to adam.sandiford@beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.